Welcome everybody to the City of Sequoia Finance and Governance Committee meeting. I'm Kate Crowley, the chair, and with me are council members Kathy Hogarty and Deshaun Quinn, who are members of the committee. We'll cut right to the chase. The business agenda 1A, tax levy legislation, an ordinance. Are we going to do this in two parts or both?
It would be nice to do it together because they do okay. Go hand in hand, if that would be all right.
We'll do 1A, 1 and 2. Take it away.
All right. Thank you very much. So Vicki Carlson, Finance Director. So this is an annual process to set the 2024, that's the annual process to set the annual property tax levy rate. This will be for 2024. We were notified that our assessed valuation for 2024 is approximately $9.267 million. We saw a very minimal increase in total assessed value, at least so far for 2024. So what was going on in the housing market is appearing to catch up to our own assessed value here. There are two ordinances involved in this. One sets the levy rate for 2024. The other shows the percent increase. So we are recommending the 1% increase as per law. The levy rate for next year would be 1.94, which is a smidge lower than this year. This year it's like 1.95. And it does include an excess levy of $4.8 million, which is what we need to cover the annual debt service specific to the public safety plan. I do want to point out on page, because this is a little bit different, if you go to the end of the ordinances, it starts on, it's on page, it's page 9 of the packet. We always provide the levy worksheet that the county provides to us. And I just wanted to call attention to that this year because it is a different format. Mm-hmm. They have always done their own format, and this year they've decided to follow the same format Department of Revenue points out mm-hmm. does. And so I just wanted to point that out because it does look very different, but this is where all of our figures come from. This would be a two-step process, so we're recommending this go to the November 13th meeting for a public hearing and adoption by November 20th. As a reminder, we do have to adopt the property tax levy rate prior to November 30th, or we will not be able to levy any property taxes for next year.
Okay, so to repeat, it's an ordinance, two ordinances, a levying the general taxes for the city commencing January 1, 2024, and ordinance increasing the regular levy commencing 1/1/24. Council members, Councilmember Hogan.
This is Donna Vizier, so I have no questions.
Councilmember
Quinn? I don't have any questions.
So I just want to pause at least during line to reiterate that about 20 years ago, I don't know if it was exactly, Tim Iman did some work on what it was we could do with our property taxes. At the time, it was 6%, I believe.
That is correct.
Thereabouts.
Yes.
And it got reduced to 1%. And watching it across 20 years and expecting the city to keep up, those kind of revenues isn't very realistic. If people compare it to COLAs for pay, where people get 3-4% over the last two decades, and lately 5-8%. So I won't go much farther than to say, when we say this is a matter of a routine process, it doesn't cover what it takes to run a city. And so we automatically move these forward. I assume we have consensus, what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and didn't the state legislature is the one, ultimately, the one that decided to do the 1%,
mm-hmm.
even though it was brought up through the IMIN initiative. So it was somewhat state self-imposed. But nevertheless, it doesn't take anything away from the point of inflation. We can't keep up with it. That's a fact. And we will comply with the state legislature's limitation on 1%. But we won't do it without recognizing it's not even realistic in keeping that open.
Yeah. Because you can't win the game this way. And the county made a strong bid in the legislature last year to get it raised to 3, and they are struggling with their budgets at this point for the same reasons. Just on.
Isn't it giving states authority to raise it up to 3%? I mean, it says it raised it to 3%.
It was county ask, but it was, it would have affected municipalities as well.
Oh, so, and then, but I thought that then within the particular jurisdictions, they had to raise it. It gives them the authority to do that.
It would have the range, and then you have the authority.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Your city.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So the state had to grant anything above 1%,
right,
which is, you know, whether it's just municipalities or whatever, the state.
Yeah. And there's,
so far,
there's not the political will to do it. Mm-hmm. We're done. We're having this discussion that we all know this,
I know,
right?
I do it because in case some people watch this,
yeah,
and feel like that,
yeah,
we're just rather stamping away here.
Yeah.
This is barely getting us through.
Right. And it's an acknowledgement that, yeah, we just that act alone doesn't reflect the fact that we're seeing rising costs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the only action we have. And that we have no control, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, and if I could take the opportunity to just add a little bit more to that conversation, if that's okay, is state law restricts the taxing authority's ability to increase taxes more than 1%.
Right.
So the limitation is on how much we as an entity can increase our revenue source.
Right.
That does not say that an individual taxpayer only receives the 1%
increase,
right, because it depends,
right,
on how your individual property changes in relation,
right,
to everything else. And that's,
mm-hmm,
why some people,
right,
property owners might realize a significant increase, others might realize a decrease,
right,
but we as an entity only receive 1% increase in our total revenue. So sometimes there can be confusion as to where that 1% limitation actually is affected.
Right. Yeah, the total shifts around as far as the response.
Whatever the case, when you divide it up and show county, state, and our take, and schools take, we are a small slice of the pie.
Yeah, last time I looked, it was less than 25% of the total tax bill in Tuffalo.
Yikers.
Okay. So that was 1A, 1 and 2. Do you want to move on to 1B, an ordinance amending the 2023 buy-in and budget? This one, subscription consideration for COW on today. And how many dates, right? Yeah. And then meeting for public hearing on 11/20 regular meeting.
Public hearing on November 15th.
11/20.
Unless I have the wrong dates,
yes,
in the memo. Now I want to double check because it should be public hearing on November 13th. And regular meeting on the 20th for adoption.
I guess that works out.
It's just the way it
technically is. Bobby would read that sentence,
yeah,
and I will.
If you glance at it,
yeah,
and I will. If you glance at it, it does
sorry
look like public hearing 11/20.
That's okay. I was momentarily confused myself.
I just don't know. I'm doing confesses, and it's going to go to a COW for a public hearing.
Yes.
And it's going to go to a regular meeting.
Yes.
Two separate days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So this again is an annual process. This is the first of the budget amendment processes that we go through for the current biennium. These are all administrative in nature. We do amend the budget. It's always worth pointing out for several reasons. We always amend the budget if, as legally required, if the fund in total is in danger of exceeding budget. We also do it as a best practice to identify significant changes in financial plans, changes in policy decisions, and also to provide transparency for key decisions. All of these that are included in here are housekeeping in nature. We are adjusting beginning balances for all of our funds to true up with how we ended the end of 2023. That just helps us with our financial reporting going forward. We do have one revenue source in the general fund that we are increasing, and that's sales tax, because that is increased, that is hitting budget and exceeding budget. We're also having several revenue-backed budget amendments. We received several grants throughout the year that were not included in the original budget, so those are in there as well. We are truing up certain expenditure budgets, including liability insurance. We did get the bill for next year, and it's, unfortunately, it is a bigger increase than we had projected, so it's one of those costs we can't control. Same with left one responsibilities. And then we're formalizing budget amendments that have been previously approved via council consensus. And I tried to find the council dates where you heard that item and provided that consensus and added that to the chart where applicable. excuse me, I am getting over a nasty cold. I also want to mention that we do have a proposed change in philosophy to these budget amendments that we have not done in the past. As you recall, when we drafted the budget for 2023-2024, we were very clear that this budget reflected what it would cost to provide the current level of services. And so we would like to retain the department's budgetary authority so we don't lose that historical picture of here's what it costs to provide the current level of service that council authorized through the budget process. So as I walk through the chart of the budget amendments, you're going to see notes because, again, we want to be very transparent in what we're doing, but there's a couple where we don't want to actually take money from one department and move it to another department because it will break that integrity to show how much a department needs to provide a certain level of service. But we don't want to cover anything up. We want to provide full transparency. So we've noted all of those items, and I will call them out as we go through the chart. But I just did want to mention that because that is a little bit different philosophy. It would just help us, I think, in the next budget process to be able to show those true apples-to-apples comparisons going forward. And so what I would like to do is jump to page 12 of the packet. And it's up to you if you'd like me to go through all of the budget amendments that are listed or if you would like me to just kind of highlight the ones that I think you'd be more interested in hearing.
Yeah, highlight them, and if we have more questions and green highlights, then we'll take it up then.
All right. So Mayor's Department, I'll just start with the Mayor's Department. There are three that I actually do want to call attention to. First is we are carrying forward money from 2022 into 2023 for the Economic Development Strategy Fund, so $84,000 in 2023. There may be an additional adjustment in 2024 as that contract plays out. We are reallocating the business assistance for ARPA out of this department into streets, parks, and DCD, as was included in that memo back in September. And then we did increase the budget for prosecution services, and that was something you heard back in June of this year. So a small amount, $9,000 in 2023 and $18,000 in 2024. Same adjustment for administrative services with the ARPA adjustment. We did put in the LTE grant because that was a significant revenue-backed item. Finance, there's just a couple items. We're rolling money forward that we won't spend this year into next year. One that I do want to point out to you is the second dedicated B&O tax position. As you recall, when we drafted the budget and the B&O tax was authorized, we did come to council and say we needed two people dedicated to B&O tax. So that was the initial plan going forward. That's what council approved. And then voters approved the minimum wage legislation later on that year. And so we came back before council and said, we'd like to take that second B&O tax position and say, okay, we do need somebody dedicated to this minimum wage legislation. And so we took that second B&O tax position and we kind of split it. Well, we have hired our first B&O tax position, and it's become very clear that we do need two people fully dedicated to B&O tax. And so this is a request to have two people dedicated to B&O tax, and then we would have a third position that would be part minimum wage, part B&O tax. And I believe if we can get there, we would have enough people to provide adequate coverage for the B&O tax. But right now, it's got to have two people dedicated.
Well, I need to clarify this a little bit.
Sure.
Really, you plan to have two B&O.
Yes.
And so the amendment is to...
To go back to the original plan, but we had originally said two people, and this would be three people, because we initially thought we would need two. We took the second position, we kind of broke it off and bifurcated into two pieces.
Yeah, but that was all theoretical. We paid for two
because B&O. We hadn't started down that road, and it...
So two B&O we're paying for in the budget, no matter how we talk about what we did with it.
Yep.
And then we realized we need the minimum wage expert. So is this different? Not dedicated B&O position, but a dedicated...
Well, it's kind of going back to the original plan of we need two people dedicated to the B&O tax, and then a third one, which is part B&O, part minimum wage tax.
So I'm looking at... So
what's in the budget now is two people.
Yeah.
And we need a third person.
And so,
we need that third people, so we have really two and a half on B&O and a half on minimum wage,
right.
or one that kind of floats between the two, depending on where the workload is.
I'm just looking at the line. And it says B&O person, and then over in 2024, it's 170,000. Is that the two B&O dedicated positions or one?
One.
Okay. And that's an amendment?
It would be an amendment because council authorized two additional positions. This would be an increase to a third, and we don't have authority without council to give us that third position.
All right. And the only reason you're losing me a little bit here is that we're not doing three B&O positions. We're doing one minimum wage, and that's really the only change in our plan, correct? So why is it?
If we go back to the original, yes, that would be it. It's half and half.
So 2.5 B&O, 1.5 minimum.
0.5.
Yeah. So I think that. I hate to go Tosh on here.
But no, and that's fine because they
you might want to just say that.
My problem.
0.5.
Yeah,
so the increase is 0.5 and the other half is the minimum wage person. And that's what it should maybe say on this line.
And I could certainly click that.
I look at that and go, we already paid two dedicated.
Yeah.
And the difference would be $170,000 to do that.
Yeah, and that's at the high end. This would be an assistant position. So
yeah, I'm not arguing the thoughts and strategies and the amendment. I'm just trying to.
Yes, I would be happy to make that clarification.
Joe, which includes me, reads this line and doesn't read that.
I'd be happy to make that.
All right.
It almost makes sense, if I could here, that there is no line item for minimum wage. So have a line item of 0.5 B&O, 0.5 minimum wage. And that continues on with the transparency as well.
I think
So.
And then we know what is.
Because I'm voter approved. And
yeah, I'm happy to make that.
Yeah, I know it's little detail things that add up to the same, but I think for the just for the optics of it.
Absolutely.
As council member, Quinn said, transparency of it all.
And you're budgeting $170,000 for an assistant position?
Yeah, and I believe it would not be that much, but I wanted to put in enough just to cover it because it would be an assistant. So we have a senior B&O tax and an assistant to the B&O tax, and this would be the assistant. So this would be the lower paid position. And the difficulty is we don't know who we're going to hire, so we always budget for full family, and it's the medical piece. But...
Gotcha.
Don't love it. It's okay. All right, keep going.
Thank you for that. So Parks and Recreation, it's all grant funded. There's a number of grants that have come into the city. Community development, I believe that's all, again, new grants, and then some of that reallocated ARPA funding to cover that position. Police, nothing really there. We do have to increase our left one responsibilities just a bit by both police and fire. Those are costs that we are required to pay. So fire on page is this?
13.
Thank you. My screen is a little bit too bigger. So I do want to talk a little bit about fire. So we did increase the employer contributions for left, so $28,000 in 2023, same amount in 2024. We have had to add in 2023 $700,000 for the contract. It's for the overtime associated that we got hit with in second and third quarter. And also we've had an increase in dispatch costs, which was unforeseen. The way our dispatch costs are allocated is it's a per call cost, and as our call volume has increased and been higher than anticipated, our dispatch costs have also been higher. So we do need to plug in $700,000 for fire for 2023. At this point, I am not recommending we do an amendment for 2024. I would rather not. I think we need to have some accountability there, and I think putting an amount doesn't lend well to that. So I would like to just let's talk about 2023 for now, and if we have to deal with 2024, we can deal with that next year. That would be my recommendation. But on a good news is we have had additional revenue coming in from the fire service side, from the permit activity. Mm-hmm. They have really stepped up to the plate and done the permitting that we weren't able to do prior to that contract. So we are looking at an additional revenue of $200,000 for this year and about $400,000 estimated for next year. And then, of course, I do also want to mention the liability insurance for WACIA. We don't realize the benefit of the contract or the annexation for fire until 2 years after it occurs. And it's because we have to close out existing claims. So it takes time for everything to catch up. So we still have to pay liability for fire through the end of 2024. And then starting in 2025, we'll start to see that reduction.
Okay. Councilmember Quinn.
So I had a question. I understood what you said. And I know this Excel spreadsheet may or may not, and I didn't see a footnote, but just thinking about the transparency on the additional costs of the contract. So whatever percentage of 700,000 is overtime and whatever percentage is an increased dispatch cost, you can't clean that from what's there.
I don't have that information in front of me, but I could probably come pretty close because they do. So what they do is they take the contract, they divide by four.
Yeah.
We pay the quarterly contract, and then they go back and they true up those costs. And we do get an accounting for what's changed.
Yeah.
So I can go back and tell you how much is related to staffing versus how much is related to the dispatch costs. I just don't have that in front of me now, but I could certainly do that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I mean, for when this comes forward, right? One, the question is going to be asked. Two, there should be knowledge of how much overtime we actually have. Three, if dispatch has met a threshold, it's also good to know that as well. And I like your approach of like not making assumptions for the next year, but it still would be good to know what happened this year, how much it costs for the dispatch, instead of having it just be in this overarching line item, TSFA contract.
Sure, I can definitely provide that information at the council meeting when it comes forward again.
Yeah,
and it's difficult because it's no longer our books, right? We have to reach out and work with the RFA to get these details, but we're working with them to get those details, and I'm happy to have the breakdown at the next meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll have the true up for third quarter by the November 13th meeting, but I'll have at least through the second quarter. So
yeah.
I can definitely bring some of that information forward.
Well, Councilmember, you looked like you were going to ask again.
Well, I just have a quick question, which it really is it's like a minute detail, but if I don't ask it again, I'll forget. It's inside, you know, read. How about the carryover for ESJ because they're canceled.
So that is on our list. It's a small amount of money, and so we typically don't bring small amendments forward.
Okay.
And so what we've done is we've captured the list of it, and we will look next year because we have a philosophy that a department as a whole should not go over budget. And so if those costs can be absorbed, then we would not actually amend the budget for that.
It's mm-hmm.
But if we need it, we've got the note, we've got the council, the finance and governance meeting from last time where we talked about it, and we can reference that conversation included next year. So because the cost would hit next year. So we typically tell, because otherwise we have departments asking us to increase literally $100, and we keep telling them, no, you can absorb this. So we don't expect them to absorb something like that, but if you that's such a small amount of money that if it can be absorbed, that would be our preference.
You guys know the concept that I've been asking about?
I think I got a general idea.
Yeah, we had to cancel Benita coming and because of illness, and so it's got to go over to next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we wouldn't want to stop something like that from happening.
Right.
But usually we have other things that don't happen, and so usually there's funds available.
Thank you.
Something like that.
I'll put it in and address it at the end, unless you think it's logical to address along the way. But there are tons of people asking me, when does the tax kick in for the regional authority? What is you and I both, just based on what you're saying, there's some mixture going on in between. What's the dividing line? When does it start? Obviously, if you collect tax, it takes a minute to hit the bank and come our way. I remember this with the pool. So you can do that at the end of this. I just want you to know, it's rolling through my head here that those questions get asked because you're already talking about bits and pieces that will hang into next year.
Sure, and actually that's a good recommendation. I can address it at the council meeting when we do the property tax hearing, because that's a great time to talk
mm-hmm.
about it. And just so that I don't forget, because I am getting over a cold and my mind is not 100% right now, I'd like to answer that question now so I don't forget. The property tax levy for the RFA does not kick in until 2025.
Okay.
So we would be making the city's decision on what to levy for property taxes through the 2025-2026 budget process, which will happen next year. So the levy that happens in 2024 has nothing to do with the annexation, because that doesn't take effect till January 1st, 2025.
Right. We're just setting things right into 25.
Correct.
Everybody comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. And I will make myself a note, so I mentioned that during the public
hearing. A lot of people ask me.
Sure.
Yeah, I know it's not until at least next year, but I'm not been sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So moving on down the page, Department 20, I do want to talk about Department 20. So this is where we have the change in budget philosophies, where we've commented items out, but we don't want to actually move the budget, because what we would do is we would be moving budget from the police department into Department 20, and then it skews what police looks like, and we want to retain that this is what it costs to provide the same level of service. So we've detailed out the amendments that would hit Department 20. And then the very bottom of that chart is there's two revenues that we're increasing. One is sales tax, and then we did increase interest earnings, and we increased interest earnings throughout all of our funds, because with rates going up, we've definitely seen interest earnings come in higher. So that's the general fund amendments, and I think I'd like to stop there and see if you have any questions on the general fund before I scoot over to the other funds and talk about other funds.
She did. So I just want to go back on this sector real quickly. So back on page 12, we'll just go back to the increase in liability insurance from WCIA. It's on both pages for some reason. I'm trying to understand how much more. I'm looking at these numbers, but I'm not. I see a bigger total in 2024, so I'm just trying, did we come up short by $370,000, or could you explain this?
For the WCIA?
Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong line, aren't I?
Yeah, so for WCIA, we anticipated a 25% increase, and it was actually 47% increase. So this is the net change from what we had budgeted to what the actual increase has been. And the increase is for a variety of reasons. WCIA is experiencing just general inflation like the rest of us are.
Yeah.
There's a lot more lawsuits going on against government agencies.
Mm-hmm.
There's higher settlements than what have been in the past, and those are reflected in these rates. And we're also seeing cases that in the past cities would have won. Cities are losing, even though a lot of roadway projects where there's no design flaw, there's no construction flaw, but there was an accident, the cities are losing, even though there's no fault on any part of the construction or maintenance of the intersection. And those are just the realities of what we're seeing in the cases that are coming through, and those are all reflected increases.
This is my five-year-old question, because I am a little lost. If I look at page 12, about, I don't know, 10 entries down, when it says finance you increase liability insurance per WCIA.
Yes.
And that increase is 68,515 in 2024. That's when we'll see an adjustment.
That's the increase for the finance department. So I will bring forward the total dollar amount for the increase for WCIA. We actually split that increase by multiple departments.
Oh,
finance bears part of it. Police, fire, and public works are the ones that bear the burden of WCIA. And it's based on a per FTE count.
All right. So that is broken up. Are you able to...
My head is not going to do the math, but I will be happy to provide you with that total increase. I have it back at my desk. I can happy to email it to you.
That's all I'm asking for.
Sure.
How much did we not anticipate?
We budgeted 25%. It was a 47% increase. I will email you that number because I have it
at
my desk. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like 49, 35, 68.
Yeah, and there is some in our utility funds and the golf course as well.
Yeah, I haven't got it over the public works and fire, but I was having trouble figuring out what is the impact financially to us.
What I'll do is I will amend this document, and I will just put, because I've got notes at the bottom of the chart, I'll just add the grand total as well.
Grand total WCIA, that just went over.
Yes.
Okay, that's all that I've got. Anything from anybody else? Okay. 74 is very good with that. So we're on item 1, right? So we had consensus before in this last discussion on B.
Do we need to do other funds?
You know, I'm happy to go through the other
funds. No.
If you have any
because isn't a lot of this revenue there?
Most of it is revenue backed. There's a couple that aren't, but
yeah.
I know the focus is always on the general fund, and that's why I wanted to take the time to go through this. But I am happy to answer any questions you might have on any of them.
Yeah, we got green highlights over here. So
I know. I just like
okay.
No. I just sometimes I just go ding. Okay, pardon me to remember like move carry forwards and things like that.
Okay. Nothing else?
No, nothing else.
All right. So 4B, we have consensus to go ahead and move this to the 11:13 COW meeting for a public hearing and the 11:20 regular meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Now we're on item 1C, August General Fund Expenditure Update and Public Bulletin.
Okay. Thank you.
Fill in discussion.
Yes. Good. Okay, so I'll zip through this. The good news is most of this stuff are things that we've heard before, but let's just get through it and make sure we're up to date. So general fund department expenditures total $46 million through August, which is $2.2 million below the allocated budget. And however, due to the ongoing labor negotiations, the $2 million is not going to be a savings. We expect that to true up when the negotiations are over. So starting with allocated budget. As of August, all departments except for administrative services and fire are operating within their allocated budget. The overage in administrative services is attributed to the private LTE project, which we heard earlier today is going to be covered in a grant. The fire increase is due to higher than anticipated overtime and increased call volumes with the dispatch service. In the past, what we've been hearing, and we're going to hear this back and forth with fire, it's the contract, the origin of the contract. So the contract is two things. One, that we split up into four. There was, early on in the year, there was a misconception of the allocated budget. So we were reporting higher than allocated budget. We finally decided, let's just move that allocated budget. So that took care of that problem. This is now something different that we talked about today. So I didn't want to confuse those two, but they are related. It's contract related, just different sectors. Anyway, moving on to percent expended. The percent expended through August is 66.7, I'm going to call it 67%. So both admin services and fire finished above the 67%. The administrative services is a result of the contract like we just talked about, and fire, same, the anticipated overtime and call volume. So exactly the same problem. Same answer for both of them. Moving over one to the moving over again to the 2023 compared to 2022. Okay, so there's a few departments that reported increases greater than 5% and 50,000. Most of the departments are within their budget allocations and they're hovering around the 67% mark. But getting right into it, the mayor's office increases there are attributed to the attorney services, special matters, and economic development. There's a consulting contract with community attributes that is higher. They didn't have that last year, so those are the big things that are jumping out over the prior year. Administrative services has the computer laptop purchases for Chromebooks related to the grant. Police is interesting. They are significantly under their allocated budget and they finished at 60% at 67% of the year. But I'm calling them out because they're 1.3 million, 10.4% over last year. So they don't jump out due to the criteria, but just because of that dollar amount, I thought I'd just check in and see what's going on there. And the increase in PDR to salaries and overtime, as suspected, supplies and tech services. The salaries and overtime are due to limited staffing. The supply part, I thought was interesting. That's for things like equipment for firearms, instructor school, revolver supplies, body cam repair kits. It's just not the normal pencils and staples that I see in finance. Different kind of supplies. So I just thought, heavy-duty supplies here. Okay. Tech services is within the PD Tech Services. That's a contract with the city and a company called Axion Enterprises.
Axion. Oh,
body cams. Thank you. Okay, fire. We've kind of beat them to death. So moving on.
Fire. Ditto.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to move into the general fund by category. It looks like there's a lot there, but I think you've talked about most of it, and the reasons, the answers will be explained also. So anyway, starting with the allocated budget, machinery and equipment, that's the only category above the allocated budget there. And so that is due to the private LTE contract, but this is not the purchasing of computers. This is the infrastructure and expenditures as part of that. The percent expended is now, at the end of August, we're at 67%. Professional services is, I think, the only one that's going to be over. They're coming in at 70.9%. Let's just see what's going on there. So, pertains to anticipated overtime. So, in the professional services, finish the month. The overage is due to overtime, fire contract, the overtime that we've talked about before. I just wanted to double check I had that right. Okay, so increase in call volume and dispatch. Also, communications is reported a higher, and that is relatively modest. It's at 69.2 at 7 when we look compared to the 66.7. So the largest portion of that expenditure is traced to an increase in microfilm imaging over the prior year. So that's going to be for administrative services. Technology services, the significant portion of the increase is the PD software and maintenance agreement with a vendor called Spillman. The utilities finished August at 82%. Let me just see where we're going with that one. Okay, however, the utilities are currently under their allocated budget, and they're also behind the prior year's year-to-date spending. So I just felt like that's just normal spending. The repair and maintenance services.
So you're saying the allocations across the year, it finished at 82% and we're at 67% for the year. How do you say it? It's saying that it's going to taper off?
Yes. So what I'm looking
at, okay, when it's 100% of the year.
Yes. And so when I look at that one, so at 66% of the year, they're at 82. So obviously that's high. That jumps up.
Yeah.
But I look at their allocated budget. They're under budget by 48,000. So these are expenditures that came up in the first half of the year. We knew about them. They were allocated. So they're under budget. And then when I look at where they were compared to last year, they're spending $30,000 less than they spent last year at this time.
Yeah.
So the fact that the 82, that's one component of the three, that does cause us to look closer, but we look and see they're under allocated budget, would let us know those expenditures were expected, and they're under last year's spending.
Thanks.
Okay, and so let's see where we are here.
Technology services.
Good.
Utilities. So
okay, good. Repairs and maintenance. Okay, that amount is 0.7% above the percent expended. So it's just a small amount. 618,000, that's 41.6% of the year. So I feel like that's just expenditures within normal cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing jumped up there. Okay, and finally, change from 22 to 23. Supplies are higher than the prior year, but under both the allocated budget and the percent expended. The technology services is reported as the private LTE infrastructure grant. Personal services is the overtime and call volume, increased call volume. Professional development is higher as a result to in-person training seminars. So business is getting back to usual, back to business. Rentals are up over the prior year, but below the allocated budget as well as percent expended year to date. So I didn't think there was much an issue there. And we've talked about technology services a few times with the PD software and maintenance agreement. And then machinery and equipment. That is the final account that finished the month higher. The increase is the LTE infrastructure grant, ITIS. So I feel like we're moving through the year. Nothing really new, but we've heard these same things over and over. They just continue to carry through the year. But we are expected to come in within budget. Even though we just had to talk about budget amendments, I feel like the departments are coming in.
Questions, Councilmember Quinn.
I don't have any questions. Trying to walk through.
Councilmember Hullard.
I have a policy thought, and that is that we're looking on page two or three. We're talking about an increase that are contributed to the attorney services.
Yeah.
We're also talking about increased people suing the city. And I'm wondering, if this is an administrative thing, I don't know where the council comes in on it, but is it time to look at in-house attorney services again? We did that probably about 5 or 6 years ago, but it might be time to run those numbers. And I don't know if the council has any direction on that or if it just comes out, but like I said, it's a thought.
So you ran it a few years ago and you kept going with external services.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I say a few years ago, maybe it was 2013. That's how the years go, right?
Yeah.
Were you here when we did that?
You know, I don't know that I was.
But that's how long ago.
So I think it happened before 2012, because I don't remember.
Okay. Okay, did it really? Okay. So
we're just talking about looking at the numbers and increasing the allocation based on what we have been programming.
Right. Which brings me to the thought that, you know, do we need to relook at
that?
Do we need to relook at that? I know that's an administrative thing, but I'm bringing that up.
Yes, and there you go. I'll make a note of it. I mean, we always try and look at, you know, what we need to do in the budget process and next year's budget process. So if there would be a change, next year would be the year to entertain it.
Yeah. Because we did contract switch.
We did a contract switch. Yeah, that was more recent. I was here for that. That was only right before the pandemic. Oh, was that?
Yeah.
Yes, because I remember Stan commenting on the fact that she was hired. We interviewed her in person, and then she everything was remote.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was more than it had been before, but we got a fairly reasonable deal because it was a competitive bid, and they were able to get it.
Uh-huh. It's more the volume of work than the, you know, the bid, because it's like we're having to pay more than what our contract is because of, like I said, people are, you know, suing about their cars going into potholes or whatever it is that happens there. And people are more litigious than they used to be. That's just basically how it is. So
if they ask to figure out how costs have gone up and down, based on lawsuits, or was he asked to understand whether or not it would be more cost effective to have the internal?
My suggestion that it's just one council member is, or my comment is, when did we look to see the cost effectiveness of in-house versus contract work?
Yeah, and we can certainly look into that. I believe it was before my time, but I can.
But I'm just one council member. But you know, if you guys want to run with it.
Before you go through that, though, I do think that I was just bringing up either miscellaneous or sometime tonight, and just get the.
You want me to bring? I can say that I said that.
Yeah.
I just said
that. Make sure we frame it right.
Yeah, we got to make sure the question
is clear. Because the assumption on the back end may not drive the intent. So attorneys, right? They have all kinds of specialties, and getting one to have all the specialties
doesn't happen.
One,
but
two,
then how do other cities that have in-house attorneys address that?
They contract that.
Has always having the in-house attorney.
Yeah, they have the in-house, and they contract out if they have
all the services.
So because
I mean that's I that must I don't know that that's what happens, but it seems like that would be what would happen.
Well, you could say, let's get a full time attorney in here, and that will cost less than the law firm. But what you won't know is what kind of specialties you have to look at the different cases we would have had to draw on and what those costs would be before you'd actually have apples and apples to a law firm.
Right. And so I don't want to get too like directive with this. It's just like I'm wondering if we have looked at the cost of bringing some of our bringing some of our attorney services in-house when the last, you know, if we've looked at that.
Would this be actually appropriate for the financial sustainability people to have a look at that?
That could be. That would
take
some homework.
I think, but then that's, yeah, honestly, what we're at.
Sustainability says,
yeah.
What's the path of resistance financially, right?
Yeah, but I think, and again, I mean, I'll add a place where I kind of disagree. In one sense, because the council action for this is when we have the budget and when we move forward the contract and the amount that we will ask.
Yeah.
And then the conversation can be built out there that is there another model that gets us where we want. But we in this room have been on the council long enough to see sometimes we get a lot of, you know, weird cases. Sometimes we don't get, I remember we went through the exercise of how can we make sure that we can come up with a good number for legal services.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the council's touch is the contract and what we are anticipating as far as cost, and then that gets negotiated with the contract. And then if you want a broader look, it is after all these years, less is it time that we look at an in-house, and what are the pros and cons of that? You know,
well, the first thing that pops in my mind is if law firm's able to find somebody else to put up an ethical wall and have the server parsed out so that information is kept away from an attorney who may have an ethical need to recuse themselves from a case, right?
Yeah.
And if you have an in-house attorney, automatically, like, where does that happen?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Right.
So I don't mind the query in, but I really do think we ought to ask the question during a council meeting to see if they feel strongly about it, because another possibility is during the sustainability. There's going to be a lot of things. If we get rid of this, what happens to our budget? If we keep it, what happens to our budget? If we pare it down, what happens to it? And that just feels like one more element of the chess pieces.
And if I could add, the consultant that is looking at our programs, and attorney services is one of our programs. So maybe I don't need to bring it up. Looking,
yeah, I'll be on that.
Maybe I don't need to bring it up. I was just sort of exploring it right here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to start creating work for people. So, but I was just like throwing it out there. So if you guys don't mind, I will just leave that conversation here. If you say that they're going to be looking at every single program
that they have,
Okay.
We've given them the data. They have all of it.
Yeah. Great. Yes. Okay. So let's just, I thank you for that discussion in this committee.
And you'll know because you're on the commission.
Yes, and also and that just gives me a little bit more information. So thank you.
All right. So does anyone else have anything on this topic? Does anyone have a miscellaneous on finance? I do not either. I don't see any reason we could not adjourn this meeting unless we have an exception.
Great, but it can't be.
It looks like we're done, everybody. Thank you very much. See you at the meeting.